TD Gaming Podcast, episode 468, and the 301st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am your host, Jonah Falcon.
And I am TJ Denzer.
And we are recording live from the parking lot of Digital Devolver. We have just finished our 3 days of E3. And, you know, it started terribly for me because I'll explain that another time. Because we're gonna do this, and then we're going to have another podcast with Scott discussing the finer points of E3. With me is TJ, and this is his first E3.
Cherry popped.
Okay, we could have used a different term than that. So I'm gonna get the obvious question out of the way. What was it like for you?
You know, I think I benefited from not having the previous years where the public was with us, because I didn't know what it would be. I didn't know the difference.
Well, here's the thing. You also had a crap ton of interviews, which you didn't have to deal with the public at all anyway. You didn't have to wait online.
That's true. I had like 12 interviews over the course of this whole entire thing, and I was behind closed doors a lot of the time, so I was not walking on the floor. I did have to deal with like pushing through crowds sometimes, but like for me, it was just like pushing through any carnival.
Yeah. As for me, I only went on one line the entire time, and that was for Shadow of War. And that I made sure that I was going to be there first thing on that line, so I got in first and I got out.
Did you ride the dragon?
No, I did not ride the dragon. Before we get into any of that, we also... Actually, you know what's funny is that we split our conferences for the most part. I attended EA, Microsoft, and Bethesda. You didn't attend Ubisoft, did you?
No, I missed Ubisoft. I hit Sony,
Bethesda,
PC Game Show.
Oh, right. I also attended PC Game Show as well. So let's start off with the weakest one, although I wouldn't call it weak. I would call it more like they didn't really have much to show, and it was for the public, and that's EA Play. And their presentation was okay. I mean, I liked it. A lot of people were down on it because they thought that EA was shitting on Mass Effect by putting out a new RPG called Anthem.
I think that's kind of silly, just because, I mean, it's BioWare. BioWare's got to work on something. They're their premier RPG-making empire.
But here's the thing. It's not even an RPG. Anthem seems to be basically their version of Destiny. Here's the thing. When I saw the trailer at Microsoft's thing, I thought BioWare is imitating Bungie to the letter with this game. It was so Bungie, it wasn't funny.
I will say, I had people tell me that it was like Destiny, and I didn't get the Destiny vibe off it. I was watching the whole thing, and I was watching the way the Javelins, which, I'm sorry, that's a stupid name for a mech, but like...
Actually, that's the name of a mech in Battletech, actually.
You know why? You know what? And that's what it reminded me of was Battletech. It reminded me of Mech Warrior, Armored Core, with all the customization they were showing off that you could do and stuff they were talking about that you could do with your suits. That's kind of what I got the vibe of, and kind of now what I want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually intrigued by the interior of the suits, you know, that padding in there, just having this sense that a human being is supposed to be inside this thing.
Yes, and we watched, like, during the trailer, you see what it looks like on the inside as the guy approaches it. It is a very plush-looking suit that just, like, attaches to your whole body.
Well, it has to be. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of it is shock absorption. But getting back to EA, so I didn't play much there because here's the thing. A lot of nerds don't like sports games. A lot of people do, you know, who are in the genre. So that's why they were turned off. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with NBA because they've been behind the ball. The one game I was really interested in playing was the new Need for Speed. And that was a little ruined because they put it on the easiest level possible. I felt absolutely no challenge whatsoever.
I want Fast and the Furious DLC stat because that is exactly what that game evokes and everybody knows it.
Actually, that game is Burnout. It's not even trying to hide the fact that it's Burnout. It is Burnout. The crashes are exactly the same in Burnout. The feel is exactly the same in Burnout. So, yeah, I mean, it's Burnout.
And it was interesting to see them, like, okay, EA is really good at sports games, and that's their bread and butter. But to attach so many story modes to so many other sports games this year. Like, we saw NBA Live, didn't that pack a story mode? Madden.
Oh, that's you know, actually those have had story modes for a while. I mean, 2K has been doing that story mode, you know, and all that. I'm not bothered by that, but yeah, there's a lot of career modes that are coming through. Now going to Microsoft, we'll ignore the debate of the price point until the next episode when Scott is around. I thought the games were really, really hot. I liked what I saw. Aside from Anthem and aside from Shadow of War, here's the thing. There's nothing new they can show Shadow of War because they keep on spoiling it constantly. It's like they already have, you know, I've seen everything you've had to give except for the story. You know, when I went to the Shadow of War presentation, I said, yeah, I saw this already. Thank you. I got a neat t-shirt, though. This is one of the best t-shirts I've had from E3.
It's a red shirt. You know what I'm realizing about this conference that Microsoft put on this year is that Xbox Anywhere and Microsoft Anywhere is turning out to be the best and worst thing for their newest console. Because as I was watching this, I realized every single thing that they're announcing is something that I could either, that is either not exclusive to the Microsoft platform, or I could just play it on PC. Which is, I mean, if you think about it, not really helping their new console.
Well, here's the thing. They know that people who are not buying the Microsoft console, they want people to buy Windows 10. Because it's not only on, it's not PC, it's Windows 10 platform. And here's the thing. If you only have a PlayStation and you're going to buy Crackdown 3 on Windows 10, you know what Microsoft says? Fine, it's advertising our console too. I mean, and you're also buying our game. Keep in mind, when you buy one game on one platform, you get it for the other one. So if, in case you say, oh, you know, I love Crackdown on Windows 10, like 10 months later, you buy a reduced cost Xbox One. Oh, by the way, Crackdown's waiting for you. And oh, by the way, all your save games are waiting for you.
I think you're right. I think it's doing a good job at pushing Microsoft's hardware, software. I just don't think it's doing their hardware any favors. Because the fact of the matter is, the reason why I got a Sony PlayStation 4 in the first place is that there was games there like Guilty Gear Xrd that I couldn't get anywhere else. That was the deciding factor there.
That's how it is. I'm not going to buy a PlayStation because I can't play Halo on it and I can't play Gears of War on it. Here's the thing. You're never going to have, you know, you can have games on one console that you really care about. You're going to get that console. You know, and I view the Xbox, by the way, I figured out what they were doing with the Xbox name. Because here's the thing. Xbox One X is basically the Department of Redundancy Department. But I realized someone pointed it out to me. It spells out Xbox.
Clever.
I don't like clever, though. Here's the thing. If I were Microsoft, I would have named it the Elite. And here's the reason why. Because they have their controller. They're $150. Well, now you can get it for like $120. The $120 to $150 Xbox controller Elite, right? And it's not for everybody. Not everybody's going to spend $120, $150 on a controller. Unless, of course, you own a Switch. Then you might be forced to. see, there's a little jab. But I think they're viewing it as sort of like the console version of the Elite. I don't think they're counting on that many people buying the Xbox X. I think I'm willing to bet you that when Black Sunday arrives, you can be able to buy the Xbox One S. Can I just call it the One S and the One X? Because this is really ridiculous. Microsoft, yeah, I would have preferred you call it the Xbox One 3000 and have Tom Servo and Crow introduce it as the Xbox One 3000.
At this point, we already got the abbreviations there. It's the Xbox for the Xbox One X. Let's just call them Xbox and X-Boss.
I was about to say, you know, but that's the X-Boss. So, One S, One X. I mean, you could call it that as well. But here's the thing. Oh, God, I lost myself.
Well,
anyways, you know, I checked on Amazon. If I wanted to trade in my Xbox One, my launch Xbox One, they'll send me $98 for it. So that's, you know, that's okay. I mean, most people own the S. They'll get like $150. And I know GameStop's going to be even more. So I think Microsoft says also, you know, if you want to trade in, I just realized. Now, the one thing I'm really excited about is Xbox Originals. And that is, now they have backwards compatibility for the first Xbox.
That's shocking. That's shocking that they went, like... Xbox has been doing a good job of pulling off the backwards compatibility thing and the and making it so you can play your Xbox 360 games. Who knew that they were going to reach as far back as the original Xbox and make those games playable as well?
I'm going to tell you something. I think Microsoft got tired of people demanding they remake Crimson Skies and said, fuck it, we're gonna release the Xbox original so you can play your old Crimson Skies. Because I think that's the number one Microsoft property that everybody wants that no one ever that Microsoft never really talks about.
Prediction. People boot up their copy of Crimson Skies from like the 2000 decade, play it for like a week, and they're like, this resolution is crap. Make a new Crimson Skies.
Actually, but that's the other thing, is that they're actually, Microsoft is remastering it as well. It's doing all the upscaling. Here's the thing. I still play Jet Empire, you know, and now I can toss out my Xbox 360 finally, because that's the only reason why I kept it around, is because you could play Xbox One, Xbox original titles.
There are a lot of titles on the original Xbox that are still worth playing, and I mean, that was a shocker. That was a shocker to hear that that was going to be coming, because, like, I don't think it, that, if there was one, there were plenty of pretty good surprises during the C3, but I think that was a big one.
I mean, Jade Empire, KOTOR, you know, that sort of stuff. But Crimson, I haven't played Crimson Skies in a while, but it still holds up. It still holds up.
For a lot of people our age, that was like a golden generation of gaming. And there's a lot of us still have our catalogs and would be happy to go back to it. And this is an opportunity for it. I don't know if everybody's willing to spend $500 for that opportunity, but it is still there.
Well, no, it's going to be on the Xbox One S, too. It's not going to be exclusive to the Xbox One X.
So. I didn't hear that. That's great.
Yeah. Another great thing is that I spoke to a Microsoft dev, and they said every game that was backwards compatible on the 360 is going to be backwards compatible in the Xbox One. So you now have an idea of how many games are going to be available.
Fantastic.
Which includes, by the way, Psychonauts.
But, like, back to what I originally said, though, it's a great time for Microsoft as far as availability goes, because they are not afraid about letting you get to their games no matter what you have. But, I mean, I guess we're going to find out how much it affects the X.
You know what? I also noticed at the conference, they sort of buried the lead on some of the games. For example, in a blink and miss it moment, did you know that Hello Neighbor is coming to the Xbox?
I mean, that wasn't the only one, too. We saw
Path of Exile. And I asked the people at Path of Exile why they didn't... And they said because we didn't have a publisher. And they didn't, what's it called, fight to have us as a featured...
In one breath, they announced Hello Neighbor, Conan Exiles, and, like, several other games that are pretty dang good. And I understand you got to, like, foster your time and make sure that you're putting the best foot forward with what you got. But, man, some of the games that they announced that would be coming to it were pretty dang popular. Conan Exiles...
That's a full-blown MMO.
That is a full-blown MMO. And then they also announced Black Desert Online.
Oh, that's true. And I remember, because that thing is that is graphic intensive, too.
Yeah. And you know what? It's they released a character creator, and that drained the resources on my PC. So, like, the idea that I could just have an Xbox One and just play it without having to worry about if my rig is up to specs is kind of appealing.
Yeah, I mean, and I forgot that the Xbox One S also has a Blu-ray, a 4K Blu-ray player. I forgot all about that. Now, the other, by the way, one of the games that I noticed, which was really, really cool, was, and it has nothing to do with Microsoft, I'm sorry, but you're talking about editors. I saw them, there's some people who are making basically Advance Wars. It's not called Advance Wars. They said it's influenced it, but every single moment of it is Advance Wars.
So, I think we saw a bigger presentation of that during the PC Gaming Show, didn't we?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They were showing off Advance Wars at this game. That's Advance Wars. Anyways, getting back to Microsoft. Cuphead looks great, obviously. And they showed off the LPs, these orange LPs.
Yeah, there was. I mean, they had, 42 games during that entire Xbox conference?
42, and 22 were exclusive. By the way, I was really doubtful about Sea of Thieves, but after sampling it, I'm thinking it could work.
Did you see the shade that that developer was throwing at a Polygon after the banana bit? So, if anyone doesn't know, there was a bit where some guy went ahead and there's a part in the Sea of Thieves trailer where a guy eats a banana with the peel on, and it's just weird. And so some guy on one of the websites went ahead and ate a banana like that just to show how weird it looked. And so the Sea of Thieves developers, being the cheeky...
Oh, they threw a lot of shade in that. That was the only thing they mocked.
So the developers of Sea of Thieves, being the cheeky, I'm going to say good sports that they are, were like, hey, cool, how about you try that with a coconut? And then they showed a video of their guy doing the same thing with a coconut in the game.
Well, keep in mind, I think Sea of Thieves is Rare, or what's left of Rare.
Which is great. I mean, it's good to have a sense of humor about your stuff. If people are going to mock you, don't be afraid to swing back. I'm happy. I'm happy they went out on that line.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. It wasn't holy shit for me, but it seems like everybody went holy shit over Metro Exodus.
Wow, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
But that was one of the things they showed at Microsoft.
Yeah. I mean... Wait, you said Metroid Exodus?
Metro Exodus, yeah.
Metro Exodus. For some reason, I thought you said Metroid. I'm sorry, folks. I'm drinking. Anyways, yes. Although that was a poor theme song to have for that, because all I could think about is that I want that guy from 28 Days Later to just go break into the scene and go on a rampage.
You know, that reminds me. What's it called? They used the song for the Dishonored, standalone expansion. It's like, that song was stuck in my head for hours after that.
And don't get me wrong, Metro is the best series that you haven't played.
Yeah, I have Metro 2033 on Steam. Not a minute played yet. I got it as part of a Humble Bundle.
It is the most gorgeous game, with some great mechanics and a fantastic story, like one of the best post-apocalyptic stories out there. Like, it came from a very, very good series of books, all about this Russian...
Well, the Russian author now says, well, the games are no longer anything like my book.
True, and I mean, that's just the way that goes, because, like, how... You can't go for word for word, man, but at the same time, what they've done with that series... It's absolutely incredible. They've made that universe. I mean, I stand by my words. It's the best shooter series that you're not playing right now.
So, this is more Ubisoft, but Microsoft debuted it, and that's Assassin's Creed Origins. Everybody was right, it was going to be in Egypt. The main character seems to be Ethiopian. And, you know, I was watching gameplay, and I was like, yeah, this is Assassin's Creed. I mean, the gameplay looks like Assassin's Creed. I mean, you have some additional little things. But it's going to be interesting to see, because remember, this is after Ubisoft took a self-imposed year off from the series.
I think we're all tainted by Breath of the Wild, because I was watching that show and I'm like, hey man, this looks like things they did in Breath of the Wild. But then I realized, hey man, they probably did those things in Assassin's Creed before Breath of the Wild. And I did a feature a while back about like how Zelda, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, borrows from a lot of contemporary action-adventure games. So, like, as I was watching this, I got those vibes, but I think it's just that I'm tainted. I'm tainted at this point by that game, because it brought those elements together so well. But it's good to see what they're doing with Assassin's Creed. I think the year off did them a world of good.
Now, we're going to move on to Bethesda's conference, and the first thing I'm going to say is, yeah, Bethesda, you should have let us know that we're going to be standing up.
I got lucky, so...
Oh, really? Well, that's part of a different podcast. Bethesda, for one thing, thank you for getting me the mug, because I got tired and I just couldn't stick around to get that cheap metal mug with the Elder Scrolls plastered on the side of it.
Bethesda's show outside of the conference was better than anything going on inside.
Okay, well, I know I could feel you getting excited when they showed off the new Dishonored standalone expansion.
Do not get me wrong. They put on some great stuff in there, The only problem is that 75% of that show, that conference, was retreads of old stuff that we'd seen before. That said, new Dishonored DLC, I still need to play through Dishonored 2, and I hate myself for not getting there yet.
Well, actually, it's not DLC. It's a standalone expansion, much like Undead Nightmare was for Red Dead Redemption.
That's right. I forgot about that because you found that out later. We both thought it was going to be DLC, but it ended up being its own thing, which is great. Dowd is coming back. Anyone who doesn't know who Dowd is, go play the first Dishonored, because he's a jerk and a great guy all at the same time.
And here's the thing. You're supposed to kill the Outsider. That's like saying, I'm going to kill Cthulhu.
Yeah. The Outsider has been around since the very beginning of the very first game, like minutes in. He is the guy. Like, you know when... Okay, so nobody's going to get this reference except for maybe Jonah, but like when they shoot Cyrus and the Warriors, that's what they're talking about doing to the Outsider.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. So what I did not get to try was Fallout 4 and Elder Scrolls in VR. I mean, that's part of the major thing. And, you know, I can imagine how it's going to be like because I played some other VR games. I am intrigued to play something like Fallout 4 in VR, not so much Elder Scrolls.
Hey, Jonah, what system do you think they're going to release Skyrim on next year?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Do you think it might have special graphics upgrade? Here's the thing. Bethesda's milking out Skyrim like nothing else. It was released, and we all know the release date because it was 1-1-1-1-1-1. November 11th, 2011, and now we're coming on 6 years of this game, and there is no Elder Scrolls 6, and they're just going to milk this Elder Scrolls Skyrim until it becomes blue.
One of my buddies on Twitter pointed out to me, good on Ubisoft for being the first conference to not mention Skyrim in some new way.
What else was at Bethesda that was interesting?
Wolfenstein, man.
Wolfenstein. Another series I haven't played yet.
I'm telling y'all, get on it. Get on it and go all the way through, because, like, you got to see what leads up to Wolfenstein 2. It is a... I mean, Doom 2016 came out a little while after Wolfenstein.
Oh, that reminds me. They also said that Doom is going to be in VR as well, although they called it VTR or something, VBR, funny, bloody or something.
VFR.
VFR. Oh, yeah, because BFG, VFR.
Uh-huh. And Wolfenstein the New Order was an amazing game, and Wolfenstein the Old Blood that comes after as the DLC is dang good as well. But Wolfenstein 2, like, I played it. I played it at the show while I was here, and they are willing to take some... I mean, they took some pages out of the Doom book, but they also just, like... It is hilarious how far they're willing to go with, like, slapstick in the middle of ridiculously serious.
And so let's see. Also, we have Quake Overwatch. I mean, Quake Champions. Yeah, they have VJ Blazkowski is one of the characters.
Blazkowicz.
Yeah, well, I played him back in '93, buddy. So, anyways, you know, I'm sorry. I really cannot get up for Quake for two reasons. One, it's another Overwatch, and two, I was always an Unreal Tournament person. And you know what? Epic. I want a real Unreal Tournament. Damn it.
Yeah, that is one series that has been left to rot for a little too long. I know they're doing their thing with Gears of War right now, but, like, they had the edge over Quake for a very long time. And don't get me wrong, I like what they're doing with Quake Champions. I think it's pretty and dang impressive. I laughed my butt off because Jonah and I were standing in line before the Bethesda conference, and I told him, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put Doomguy in as a character. And I was pretty dang close in my prediction.
So we're going to move on to the PC Gaming Show, and the show that actually a lot of people really liked. You missed it, unfortunately, the XCOM expansion, which is pretty incredible. Did you catch the trailer afterward? Did you catch any information about it afterwards?
Yeah, I got an idea of what was going on in there, and it seems interesting. They're playing with a lot of factions. They're playing with this new enemy, and it seems like it's going to be fun.
And what's really interesting is something they released announced later on, and that is some of your soldiers may develop relationships.
Which is great. I mean, it looks like XCOM is building into a situation where there's going to be multiple outcomes instead of just win or lose.
I mean, here's the thing. I played through XCOM 2 once, and that was it for me. Because it wasn't like XCOM. It wasn't as fresh. And, you know, the end battle was just a bore. But this might bring me back to see what else is going on with it.
I mean, I'm absolutely for it, as long as there's something a little... maybe a few changes in the RNG so that when I'm standing next to a person with a shotgun and it says 99% hit rate, I don't miss.
Oh, yeah. 95%, oh, you miss badly. I'm surprised they don't actually have you the shotgun blow up in your hands, too.
Yeah, but I'm intrigued. I mean, it seems like the first branching paths XCOM thing we've had in a while, and I'm all for multiple options.
Now, we already mentioned the Advance Wars clone, and I know I'm missing something that was big that was announced. Can you help me out here?
Tunic.
Tyranny was last year.
Tunic.
Oh, Tunic, right. Tunic looked really, really good. Oh, and yeah, what's it called? I forgot to mention, you know, this guy starts talking about how it's his favorite Fox, isometric scrolling action platformer.
So, in the Microsoft conference, they announced another Fox-based adventure platformer.
Which was basically, let's face it, it was basically Banjo-Kazooie with a fox.
Yeah, it was called Lucky's Tale, which a lot of people thought looked a lot like Banjo-Kazooie or Conker. But then during the PC Game Show, they announced this one. It was Tunic, which is an isometric action-adventure game.
Think Bastion.
Almost exactly like Bastion and sort of like the look that you had. Just because you're exploring this land, it's a mysterious island, there's enemies attacking you, and goddammit, you're a fox with a sword.
I also played Ooblets, and I'm going to tell you something. It feels like something that a couple of teenagers made, and it is very, very, very Pokemon and very, very, very Animal Crossing. It is like they decided to take those two. It was like a school project. We're going to make Pokemon and Animal Crossing and smush them together.
Another big one that came out of that conference, though, and something that I'm going to be keeping my eyes on closely for the next, like... before it comes out, when it comes out, and after it comes out, is Echo Arena.
Yeah, so it's basically, it's a VR version of Rocket League, except you're in Tron suits and you're flying through space.
The best way I've heard it described is Tron meets Rocket League meets Final Fantasy X Blitzball.
Yeah, and they were heavily, here's the thing, VR is the buzzword of, actually it's been the buzzword for the past few E3s, but this year... it's becoming more affordable. I played on a Vive. I really enjoyed it. I played a game called Speed Vector. Oh, damn it. They're going to kill me for mispronouncing. But, you know, it was really good. It was basically a foot race using VR. And, you know, you have to do the vaulting and all that stuff. And I felt like I was getting pretty good just after one thing. And it makes me want to play it again. But it's VR. So I can get, actually it's a PC game, but that means I'll have to buy a VR kit in addition to the Xbox One X.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how sold I am on VR, but like Echo Arena looked legit. It was easily one of my favorite things I've seen during this conference. I wanted to be a part of that just because you're taking a ball and you're throwing it between your friends and you're trying to score in a zero gravity space.
And also it does a lot of geometry because there are these panels and your ball can bounce off them, you know, in an angle and try and get it. So it's sort of like foosball as well.
That's going to be the kind of game that people pick up learn, master, figure out tricks that nobody else knows, and just continue to advance and develop.
You mean like Rocket League?
Pretty much exactly like Rocket League. There's so much room for talent in there.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to the Ubisoft presentation. I didn't go to it, you didn't go to it, but we pretty much know that aside from Assassin's Creed, I am, I was okay on South Park, the Fractured Butthole, but after seeing it in action, it's on my radar.
Yeah, I mean, it's Obsidian Entertainment. We know all about them. They know their way around video games. They know their way around RPGs. And they're working closely with Matt Stone and Trey Parker to make sure that the spirit is very well embedded into the game. They already locked down the comedy in the first game. So it's cool to see Obsidian get to, like, flex their pecs as far as their creativity when it comes to the RPG.
Now, the other thing I did was a little bit of Far Cry 5 gameplay. And it's going to be very interesting because you now have a companion. You could have, and the ones that we had was a guy in a plane, a female sniper, no, not quiet, and definitely better dressed than her, and a dog. And the dog is really cool when you're doing the stealth, because you can have the dog sneak up and take someone out. He'll scout for you, and no one looks at him. No one cares that he's there because he's a friggin' dog. And it's Far Cry 5 is looking like Far Cry, but it has some mechanics which I really like.
It makes me long for the full-on buddy system in Far Cry 2, where you had like a wingman that was traveling with you throughout all of it, and like there was emotional depth in that, because I like remember being really upset when my guy would go down and I would have to make that terrible decision as to whether to off him myself or just let him die in the field.
Yeah. What else did Ubisoft show off? Oh, God. You know, here's a little hint. I really don't care about rabbits. Stop talking about raving rabbits. Stop it with the raving rabbits.
It's the best Mario XCOM game ever made.
I don't... you want to impress me? Forget about the rabbits. Do the game from which they came, and that is... Oh, God, I forgot the
Rayman.
Name of the... Rayman. Rayman. Just make another Rayman game. Come on.
You're looking at this the wrong way, Jonah. You get a video game in which you get rabbits to shoot at each other with guns.
Yeah, but you know what? I wasn't into Minions either, so...
Yeah, but they weren't killing each other in the movies.
At some point they will, I'm pretty sure. Now, before we move on to Sony, we can also talk about Nintendo's very, 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 very brief online thing. And basically, I know that you only got one thing out of it, and that's Metroid is back.
Metroid is back and kind of the... Okay, so Metroid Prime 4, I don't care that much about because I didn't play any of those games. However, the one that they announced for 3DS, that's important because Metroid 2 Samus Returns was released on the Game Boy. And that was the most limited console out of all of them. Limited color, limited environment. It's the place where they have the most room to expand.
Yeah. So, going to Sony, and now I know that Sony did a very, neutral, no-risk thing, just show a bunch of games, and that's it.
They killed it, though, man. I mean, for me, it was a lot of stuff that I was excited to play. I was excited to see them continue to push God of War, Uncharted. Uncharted had two female leads, both of which are great characters done by great actresses.
Yeah, well, we're all tired of Nathan Drake. Let's face it, he's a dick, and he's not very likable. He's likable in that you want to slap him upside his head. At least that's the way I feel.
Which is great, because now you get the leading lady from Uncharted 3 and the leading lady from Uncharted 4 together in one place on a great adventure.
I'm pretty sure Scott will be, because remember, he played through Uncharted 4 with while his wife watched.
He played through the collection, too, so he'll have an idea of what's going on with those two. But more than that, like, there was DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn, which was a great open-world game, and I'm really excited to continue on that journey. There was also... I was surprised to see them actually dedicate a good amount of time to VR. because
you were not surprised that they dedicated. You told me that they were going to take a chunk of time devoted to the VR at the Bethesda thing. You say it's going to be all about the VR at Sony.
I made a bet with another person, and I told him, you owe me a beer if they introduce more than three VR games that are substantial. And they went ahead and did Skyrim, Moss, which is, I'm sorry, Mouse with the Gauntlet, Game of the Year. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You may think that Sony and Microsoft are both rivals, but they also have a common agenda in pushing the hardware for VR.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to say I was surprised, but I was slightly surprised because everybody in the world keeps telling me, you know, Sony doesn't push their peripherals, and they have the evidence to back it up. It's not like
they don't push the peripherals. They still have the friggin' Move controllers, and they're still trying to push the Move controllers for use with VR.
Yeah, but they don't push the software for them, is what I'm saying. They pretty much say, hey, we have this thing, buy it, and then they never make games for it.
Oh, remember that augmented reality thing they had a while back?
Isn't that just pretty much the PlayStation camera, which you also need for the PSVR?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that book game in which you open the book, and whatever. So we did that's all the conferences. We're not missing any, are we? No, I think that's it. Yeah. So we're going to get through most of the games that we actually played in the next podcast, because this is basically our first impressions out of the gate. But what game did you find? Actually, you know, Microsoft Conference also had a game that you said you were really, really excited about, and you finally got to play it at the very last moment of E3, and that was Dragon Ball Z Fighters, Dragon Ball Fighters Z.
Yeah, new fighter from Arxis Morx, which are the people that make Guilty Gear, which is my favorite fighting game in the world. They already had their chance at doing Dragon Ball on the 3DS, and they kind of killed it. They did a good job on that, so this is why Bandai Namco trusts them to do it again. I had my time with it today. I played several good matches with it. They're kind of moving in a Marvel vs. Capcom route with it. It's not as technical as Guilty Gear Xrd. It's more built towards accessibility, letting you take these characters and do stylish moves with them in that 2D, 3D style that Guilty Gear Xrd is made popular.
Yeah, they're sort of doing what NetherRealms is doing with Injustice 2 in having all these characters have their personalities. The in-match stuff is calling to the characters, and of course when they win they have that movement toward the camera. And oh, by the way, we must mention that it is fully cel shaded, and it's a lot like Skullgirls in that regard. It is very, very hand painted.
The difference between it is that every character is a 3D model. Like, it looks 2D when you're looking at it from the front, but it can transition seamlessly between 2D and 3D environment.
It also has the Dragon Ball Z incomprehensibility factor as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of fast punches, energy blasts, psychopathically large beams, and I played a match today where a player that was playing Boo, he beat me with a super move and just blew up the city.
So, aside from that, what game that we haven't mentioned yet really stood out to you?
Spider-Man. Spider-Man is...
Which was, by the way, from the Sony conference that we skipped.
Spider-Man is looking the most interesting since Tobey Maguire first put on the suit. I haven't given a crap about Spider-Man games since the first one. And I know that some good ones have come out. I'm aware of Spider-Man Dimensions and things like that. It's just that this has gotten me more excited to play on that character than any other game before it.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me, a game we forgot about from Microsoft, and the thing is, I was thinking Spider-Man game, then the Hulk game, and then the spiritual successor to the Hulk game in a very, like, is Crackdown 3. And oh, by the way, Terry Crews will be in the game itself.
You know, that's good, because when I saw that trailer, I was like, I don't even want to play this game anymore. I just want to watch this trailer for 11 hours straight with Terry Crews, and I'll feel like I got the full experience.
Yeah, for those who didn't see it, watch it. It is just over the top. But then again, Terry Crews is always over the top.
Terry Crews is literally the best.
he's this generation's Mr. T.
But like, much, much more
psychotic.
I'm waiting for the Terry Crews cartoon.
It's probably going to be like the Ultimate Warrior.
As long as he's got some kids and they're solving mysteries, it's going to be the best.
But at least you get to play as him in the game. So he's one of the... There are four characters, I believe, and one of them is Terry Crews.
Which, like, man, was it really the best idea to announce Terry Crews as the first character? Who even cares about the other three now?
Yeah. So getting back to games that made an impression, one of the games that really, really made an impression on me, and I'm not sure if it's my game of show, but it's close to it, and that's a game that no one talked about, and that's Call of Cthulhu, which is basically a third-person adventure game, adventure action game. And here's why. It takes the Mass Effect idea of everything that you do or see and folds it in. Like, if you do not pick up a clue, you're not going to be able to have a dialogue option. You know, in order for you to get most clue, you have to... Batman Arkham Asylum, the first one, and maybe Arkham Knight 2 did a good job of it. Condemned, they did detective work well. This game looks like it... There are games that failed, like a Murdered Soul Suspect, you know.
Call of Cthulhu is a video game based upon the pen and paper game of old. And it's all about investigation and keeping your sanity in check.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you can start getting quirks and phobias. Like the game I saw, they got a fear of death and a fear of being claustrophobia and a fear of dead things. That's not a very good thing to be afraid of when you're dealing with Cthulhu.
And, like, it is very much, like, from the outset, just a very simple murder investigation. You look for clues. You interact with people. You have journalists on the outside that can help you discover new information that you might not have otherwise. And they have their own stats as well. And you level up your investigative skills, your persuasion, your ability to withstand traumatic information. And then there's points at which, if you start to lose control and slip, you start seeing the game starts to mess with you. The game starts to be like, is it Indigo Prophecy?
No, it's that game by Silicon Knights, and I can't remember it right now. But here's the other thing. One thing I was surprised, and it made me realize I wasn't crazy for liking the game. Gail Simone talked about it on her Twitter feed.
That's a pretty great attribution right there.
Yeah. Also with it, by the same people, well, not by the same developer, by the same company, we also got to look at Vampire, however you want to pronounce it. I called it Mass Effect of Vampires. Geez, I forgot your name already. TJ called it The Witcher 3 with vampires.
I had a chance to interview with that man, with the lead designer behind it, and I can't remember its name because it was incomprehensibly French. But, and I'm sorry for that, but it is so much more than that. Like, and I want to get into this very deeply, and I will at some point. I actually want to get into this on the next episode with Scott.
Okay. Speaking of French people, I also introduced TJ here to the lead developer of Rainbow Six Siege, and what's it called? So I set up an interview at some point for them.
I shook hands with the man, told him I've been playing since day one, and even he was like, "You still playing now?" And I'm like, "Of course I am. It is a great game, and it's one of the pinnacles of first-person shooter esports." I was happy to meet with the man, and I'm definitely going to be talking to him again.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing about E3, by the way, folks. You get to meet people. Like, I met Richard Garriott, who is Lord British. I met Sid Meier. I met, you know, I made friends with Chris Avalon and Tim Schafer. So let's see, what else? What other games really struck out? What other games really show? What am I trying to say? What other games really show?
Stood out?
Yeah, that's it. What other games stood out to you?
I had a chance to play an early build of Tropico 6, and there was some great stuff there. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but like, you can steal monuments. You can, as El Presidente, if you want the Statue of Liberty, send some gorillas out there to steal
it. This is not Evil Genius or Despicable Me, you know.
It's getting there. It is getting there. They are pushing the limit on just like the level of comedy that they put into those games. Like, yeah, it's not just about making your dissenters disappear anymore. It is literally about, they set this one in, I'm going to give you a brief thing. They set this one in the period between the World War II and the Cold War. So not only do you deal with your island, but you also deal with the Axis and Allies at some point, and then you deal with America and the commies at another point, making demands of you. And you can either decide, well, I'm not going to do that for you, or... you can go your own route.
You can get a nifty little El Presidente bobblehead.
I did get a nifty little El Presidente bobblehead.
Actually, little is not the word for it.
He's quite tall and slender. He's almost like a slender man, but like Fidel Castro.
Yeah, we'll talk about the swag we got, and a lot of it I'm going to be giving away on the podcast. But like Tristan Shanny, that's giving away a little too much. We will discuss that in the next episode. I did not play Call of Duty World War II, and I was amused today that after 30 minutes, they closed the line. So people in the back spent $250 to wait online for 6 hours just to play a game that's going to be coming out in a few months.
I got a chance to play it on my first day here on Tuesday, and I've got to say, it's something different from everything I've played in Call of Duty before, and I've been playing them for a while. It's a retread back to Call of Duty World War II, which I haven't done since 2008. And World at War was a long time ago. There have been so many technological advancements since then. A, the game is gorgeous. B, for all you Overwatch players out there, for everyone who likes the objective-based gameplay, stay tuned because they put a mode in there that is almost perfectly set up like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of now a game that I would want to talk about. Like, my brain is frozen right now. Going back to... you know what? We did see Ni No Kuni. I didn't play it. It looks gorgeous. But then again, in a Studio Ghibli, what can you expect?
Yeah, the game... The first game was super... I guess they've been a few games in at this point, but, like, the Wrath of the White Witch was super charming. It's from the... from a prominent member of the Studio Ghibli animation studio. That was redundant. I'm saying Xbox One X over here. Anyways, so it's got that style of like charming mixed with tragic in the way that Studio Ghibli always does it.
The other game that really struck me and is, of course, Middle-earth: Shadow of War. But here's the problem. It looks fantastic, but they showed at the presentation nothing we ever already haven't shown all, seen already. That's the problem with hyping this game and having live streams of gameplay every other day, is that I saw it and it's amazing, and guess what? I already know all this stuff. You don't have to sell me on it anymore. I saw the Siege gameplay. The only thing they can do that was new is something they're not going to do, and that's the story.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a treaded path. Like, they really have to reach to surprise at this point with that, don't they?
Well, I know several ways. The other game that had massive lines was Destiny 2. And I will say, at least they're working on that, and they've improved a lot of it. It'll be interesting to see what the final product is going to be like. Because here's the thing, when I first played Destiny, I fell asleep after a couple of days of it. I couldn't anymore.
Destiny once, shame on you. Destiny twice, shame on me.
I know, it's one of those things you're going to wait. You're going to wait to see. I mean, here's the thing. The Taken King was hailed as what Destiny was supposed to be. So, obviously, Bungie learned from it. It's going to be interesting if Activision got enough of a bloody nose from the first Destiny to tell Bungie, okay, do what you want. We won't interfere this time.
It's really what they got to do, because, like, Bungie... untethered, they know what they're doing, and they will make it work. That's from what I understand. That's what they did with the Taken King. They had the leash pulled off, and they swung for the fences. Too many analogies in one sentence, but they did do a good job, from what I understand.
Here's the thing. These people made Halo, okay? You signed a 10-year agreement with them for a reason, and that wasn't to tell them what to do.
Yeah, and I really kind of hope that Destiny 2 is everything that everyone makes it out to be. It'll be a great point for me to, I guess, step in if I see things are going well, just because I wanted that universe to be fun. And I guess it eventually got there. I just wasn't willing to invest far enough to see it happen.
And this is going to be the final thing for today, because we're going to have to save some of this stuff for Scott to interject about, because there's a bunch of games I know that Scott really wants to talk about, and there's a lot of topics that Scott really wants to talk about. I'm going to finish off with Dying Light, and I went, that was today, and it was one of the last things I did today. The last thing I did was Namco Bandai, and they told me that for Dying Light, they're going to release 10 pieces of free DLC for the next year, for the next 12 months. And they're not talking about small DLC either. Actually, technically, it's 11, because they're starting out right now with number 0.
That's impressive to see that they're going to push that game as far as they're going to. When you say 10 DLC, I think, like, here's the mercenary weapon pack with a machete and two different pistols.
Oh, no. They're building maps. And here's the thing. When it's all said and done, the map that they have is going to be as big as the map that they have in the original game. The other thing, the reason why they're doing this is that they said that when the game first launched, they had 700,000 users, you know, playing online. And currently, they have 500,000. And that is such a small drop-off that they knew they were doing something, and they're trying their best to keep it.
I mean, when you've got something that works, you've got something that works. They're building upon a pretty decently working formula with what they had with the original Dead Island.
Not Dead Island. Well, yeah. These are the same developers that did Dead Island, but this is dying.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're building upon a decently successful formula with what they had in the original Dead Island. They added the parkour, they added the night effects, they added these new threatening zombies that are actually threatening and not just like the same old fodder you've seen in a million other zombie games. And they're making it into something that's like, this is a living, breathing world of adventure and survival.
And you know, the thing is that when Dying Light first came out, it was not reviewed well at all. It was like at 60s and 70s. And then they had the expansion, the standalone expansion. And you know what happens is that it skyrocketed after that. So it's sort of like they realized the formula and they say, okay, this is what works now.
Yeah, I mean, if it continues to work and it continues to draw, I mean, it's been years since that original Dying Light came out at this point. 500,000 people still playing is nothing to scoff at.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to wrap this up now. Like I said, next episode I'm going to be talking about the swag that I'm going to be giving away. And we'll also have Scott in to weigh in on a lot of the stuff that he wanted to talk about. And for now, we're going to be saying, see, what happens is that Devolver Digital is now starting to break it down too. They're starting to get ready to leave E3, and so are we.
It was a fun show. I had a good time. I wish I could see what everyone was talking about in the years where the public wasn't around, but you know what? I'll take it for what I got.
Like I said, here's a special thing. You basically had the same experience as before because you didn't really have to go on the show floor all that much. Here's the thing. TJ had a bunch of interviews, so he's sequestered in these little rooms with people treating him right and giving him. And here's the thing. The swag that they give you, remember, you have to always remember, it's bribery. They want you to remember them.
I mean, job well done on some parts.
I mean, yeah, you're never going to forget El Presidente.
No, he's going on my desk as my desk dictator as soon as I get home.
Anyways, we will see you next week. See ya.
Take care, y'all.